Blog Talk Radio.
Please stand by. As usual, we're having some technical difficulties, but please stand by. We will start shortly. Please stand by. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Walaikum salam. This is Sister Millie X from London.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're having some technical difficulties, and I think I need to get one more person on the phone before we actually begin. So please stand by. You know, this is become a way of life with Blog Talk Radio. So just stand by. We don't get Sister Diatoma. I think that's the one that's missing. And Sister Diana is here. Sister Diana, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay.
We have a couple more sisters to get on the phone, and I do so apologize for this ever-going problem with Blog Talk.
Sister Queen, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, what the? This is Sister Millie from London, England.
Yes, ma'am, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yes, ma'am, and you too. Greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
And Sister Diana.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you, my dear sister?
I'm doing wonderful. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Okay, I might have to get these ladies to call in because it seems like we're having a problem with the phones. As usual. So I don't want to hold up any longer than what we have to. So I will send them a message, and inshallah, they'll get my message, and they'll be able to call in. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Hold on. I thought I saw her somewhere on Facebook. I guess not. Okay. In the of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, and I would like to greet all of you, the listening audience, as well as my distinguished panelists, and our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Pardon me. And, of course, I would like to welcome our audience back to part two of Why the Black Woman Will Not Submit. And last week, we were blessed with the presence of our brothers speaking out on this topic. And so now it's our turn, sisters, to speak out on this topic about submission. So, Sister Millie, I'm going to have the two ladies introduce yourselves. I'm still trying to get the other two sisters on the phone. But Sister Millie, all the way from London, England, my queen, come down front and center, introduce yourself.
Good evening, greetings, and assalamu alaikum to all who are present. I'm your sister Millie, all the way from London, England. I've been a registered member of the nation now for 2.5 years. So I'm still a baby, still growing, and loving every minute of it. I don't know what else you need me to say. I'm self-employed. I've taken a leap of faith and doing for self. So I totally work for myself, and I have a business selling jewelry and accessories to beautify our sisters even more.
Oh, praises to Allah. Now, are you married or single, Sister Millie?
I am single, beloved. Still waiting for my God-made man.
All right. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And Sister Diana Richardson.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on, Queen. I don't have to tell you to introduce yourself. I'm just going to tell you to present yourself because, of course, everybody on Facebook know who you are.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a pan-African, pro-black sister. You know, I'm a follower of Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad. For many years, I followed their teachings and their beliefs. I have never really submitted myself over, but I am part of, you know, my phone is going to be messing up after I say Black Panther. But anyway, I'm close to the black community as possible.
Yes, ma'am.
As one
absolutely
can get. Boy, my phone is going to be all rigged up tomorrow, but that's okay.
Oh, sister, they got you on rig right now.
I know they do.
They got all of us. Okay, we wanna talk a little bit about the relationship between the black man and the black woman, and because that relationship in particularly can make or break a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So one of the things that really drew me to this topic, I had a little young brother. Brother Jihad, he's 22 years old, and he asked me a few weeks ago to do this show about women and submission. And, you know, at first I was going to attempt to walk on eggshells, but, you know, I just honestly don't feel like I need to do that with my sisters. I think we can talk openly and talk honestly because
mm-hmm.
we have six in one hand and half a dozen on the other. We have women who have this false sense of entitlement and feel like they can do it all by themselves because they've done it all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the other dozen or half a dozen women who say, you know what, I really need to follow the order of Allah, the order of God, and be submissive to my significant other, my spouse. So I'm going to start with you, Sister Neely.
I thought you would.
What do you think? Of course. What do you think submission is?
Oh, sister. I have recently, within the past year, come out of a long-term relationship. And I've been reflecting and dealing with that word submission and what it really means and who I was submitting to in the relationship. Where I am now, my understanding of submission is first we must submit to Allah. Otherwise, we're making gods before Allah, and that will not work out in a successful way for us. But I do believe in a relationship, submission does have to take place. Otherwise, you will constantly buck heads. And submission isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of respect and working with your significant other to build. So I do believe that man and woman should submit to one another when in a marriage.
Absolutely. Okay. And
I agree with that.
My strong sister over there, Sister Diana.
You know what?
Does
I agree with this sister 100%. She couldn't have said it. It can't be said no better than what she said. But it's so hard now for women to submit. It's not that women don't want to submit, but we are being programmed. White supremacists have programmed not to submit. Everything on the media, it goes towards that. If you remember the first black shows that was on the media where women were submitting to the husband, like the George Jefferson, Good Time Weezy, Flo and her husband, somehow the media would kill the man off.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
You remember on Good Time, they eventually killed him off, had her on welfare. Where would it be a single woman? And she quit.
And you know, the interesting part about that, not to cut you off, but you know, a long time ago, Esther Rowe did an interview when Good Times was very popular. And the plan was to have her and the three children. And she stood up and said, "You're not going to put me on television and give me three children and no husband."
And she quit the show for that reason. I'm going to tell you something. One thing about white supremacists, they went out to attack the black woman. They've been doing this for years with us.
Mm-hmm.
Subliminally, they've been doing it to us. I hope I'm saying that word right.
Yes,
the first
ma'am.
Black woman they gave us wasn't even a woman. They came on with the head shake, the snapping of the fingers and the head shake and the throw in the head. That didn't come from a woman on TV. It came from a man, Flip Wilson, Geraldine. If
come
you remember,
on, sister, you better teach.
He would
yes.
flip his hand. I'm a strong black woman. I don't need no man. The devil made me buy this dress. Don't you touch me, honey. You don't know me like that. Those are the words of Geraldine, Flip Wilson, a hardcore black woman, which was portrayed by a man. But this
uh-huh.
woman, and the man she was in love with was a man at the penitentiary. He was a thug. His name was Tilk. Subliminally, we grasp that as women. Why would we grasp a man as a, you know, there is no ghetto women. There were, at that time, in the 70s, there were no ghetto women on the TV, but there were ghetto women in the 70s and the 80s. Subliminally, we didn't catch it. Another one was Jamie Foxx playing Shanae, a ghetto woman.
Yes, ma'am.
Another one was,
that.
Who was that other guy?
Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence.
He did Shanae.
He played, matter of fact, Martin Lawrence played Shanae.
That's right, Queen.
And Jamie Foxx played
Wanda.
Jamie Foxx played Wanda.
Uh-huh.
Both were strong women who didn't need a man.
Mm-hmm.
Subliminally, this was catching on.
Mm.
There
yes,
was
ma'am.
No woman actually said, "I'm a strong black woman, I didn't need no man." This didn't come from a strong black woman. This came from men.
Mm-hmm.
And subliminally, we caught on to this. And then in the 90s, women were being promiscuous. Maybe not saying that word right. But anyway, in the videos, if you remember the rapper videos, all the women would be half naked. This twerking ain't new. The twerking started in those videos.
Mm.
The women should be half naked and whores. This is the work of white supremacists, and we didn't catch on. And then you ask yourself, how did this happen? Because these people bought into it. Flip Wilson, Jamie Foxx, Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry plays a woman.
Mm.
We don't know any woman playing that part of Medea. She always carrying a gun. She's shooting people. She's talking crazy all the time. Acting
and smoking
all
weed.
Excuse me?
And smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. So who's putting the image of the black woman out there?
Yes, ma'am.
Who's putting that? White supremacists putting that image out there, and it uses men to do it. We've been catching on to this, and we, you know what? And we do it some kind of way. We're programmed to react in this kind of way. We start acting like Madea. You know what I'm saying? We start portraying these images. The
yes,
TV is very strong in programming, very strong. That's why I don't watch TV no more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sister Diana, we're going to introduce Sister, she's going to kill me, Sister Sincere. Are you there, Sister?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Queen, how are you?
I'm blessed by the grace of Allah now that I'm on the phone and know my sister didn't diss me.
Okay.
But
I'm hearing an echo. Do you have your computer on?
I sure do. Let me shut it off. Hold on a second.
Or you could just mute it.
Okay. And I also have you on speaker, so let me take that off.
Okay. Can you hear me better
now?
Well, sound better?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I'm sorry about the technical difficulty, but sister, go ahead and take a moment and introduce yourself and, you know, pronounce your name correctly because I always mess it up.
Well, Sister Aziza, you did wonderful pronouncing it. I've been called worse.
Oh,
it's Sister Sincere. If you see me on Facebook, it's Queen Sincere Muhammad. But first, I want to say all praises due to Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. There is no God but Allah who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. I bear witness that Elijah Muhammad is his messenger and that our divine reminder and grace in our midst is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. On that note, I'm just a humble servant here at Mosque Number 23 and whatever mosque I'll go and visit. I'm a humble servant to my community and a humble servant to the youth and especially young women. So I came on a little late, but I was hearing the sister talk about the feminization of the black male into giving us the image of what we should be as women and then emasculating the female. So I'm not sure if that's where the conversation was going. I just want to get that clear first.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we were talking about submission. You know, what do we think submission is? And, of course, one thing led to another, because that's Sister Diana. You know, she raw and uncut. She going to bring it hardcore. So.
I know that's right. We MGT, that's how we got to bring it. We don't know no other way.
That's right. That's right. Yes, ma'am. So let me ask you, Sister Sincere.
Yes,
what do you think submission is?
Well, submission, and if I had my word cleaning, and I actually went to the org the other day, I should know this by now. submitting, I believe, is, you know, you I'm going to give it in layman's terms. You put yourself to the side or you give into something other than yourself and to that will of whatever it may be. Like, we submit our will to the will of Allah, not our own will at times, but we have a restrictive law that we follow. And we submit, or we try our best to submit to that restrictive law. So that's kind of how I see it. And I need to word clear. That's why I have my computer up, just in case questions like that came up.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you know, because I'm going to tell you, being a behavioral scientist, it kind of allows me to sit back and take a lot. You know, I take a lot, you know, because people have a right to their opinion, so I can't always be reactive to how people feel and how they think, but I can always observe. And you know, my dear little brother Jihad, who asked me to do this topic, I was observing the behaviors of some people, of course, in social media, some on Twitter, but mainly on Facebook, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, that this topic derived from some of the things that had actually been going on. And I've heard, especially those men who are members of the Nation of Islam, say that we as women are rebellious and that we refuse to submit not only to a man but to submit to Allah by simple things, by not covering our hair or wearing makeup or the clothes that we wear or things of that nature. But We had our beloved brother Tony Muhammad on last week, and I think he's listening tonight, who really, really was very hard on the man, very critical of the brothers. But then there's another aspect to this, because we're talking about here lately feminism. Now, depending on who you are and where you're from, feminism could mean a lot of things, but it was put in the context of a woman who is trying to wear both the dress and the pants, and that she doesn't need a man because she makes the money, she raises the children, she fixes her own car, she does all the house repairs, she can do anything that a man can do. And so with this mindset, they call us feminist. Now, you know, I had to look at that and turn, you know, to the mirror myself and say, huh, am I feminist? Because, you know, I do all those things. But, you know, I just think that a lot of men misunderstand the plight of the black woman here in the hills of North America, because know that oftentimes our experiences have been that we have been deceived by the very men that we are supposed to trust. We are supposed to be able to trust our fathers, our brothers, our uncles, the perverted next door neighbor who've been living over there for 15 years. You know, we have been violated by the very men that we're supposed to trust, even if it's just abandonment. Because when a girl child grows up in a house, her nature tells her that if father is absent, something is missing. She might not know what is missing, but her nature will tell her that something is missing. And the behavior of her mother will let her know that something is missing. And I think that a lot of brothers, and if I'm wrong, you brothers are welcome to call in, press 1 on your phone. I will be more than happy to take your comment. But I think a lot of brothers forget oftentimes how we also suffered during slavery. I know the minister said something about one time that, you know, the black men were used for studs, and they were used to impregnate women, and they were taken out of the home, and then the white man was the one that was left there to supply her needs, to secure her or whatever. But in this day and time, you know, that learned behavior has perpetuated itself. So black men don't know how to stay in the home. Black women don't know how to act when a man is in the home. And at some point, our children suffer generation after generation. And I want to call your attention. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie The Butler, but in the beginning of the movie, when the character who played by Forrest Whitaker, when he was a young man, very young man, they were sharecroppers, and the plantation owner came out and grabbed his mother and took her off and sexually violated her, and the father stood there helpless, and he, being a young son, was going to go after the father. I mean, after the plantation owner. And then he turned to his father and he said, you know, Dad, what are you going to do? Even he knew that something was going on that was not right, and that his father should have stood up. Well, what that's still going on today. So I'm going to ask you, you know, not to get personal, but how many of you have been neglected, abandoned, abused, mistreated, even misunderstood by a black man? Because maybe that's just my life.
No, ma'am.
I would love to think that's the majority of us.
Interject, because
I mean, even
sister.
If we didn't go through it ourselves, we knew someone very close to us that went through it, and we had to learn from their experience going through it. Because in a way, if someone very close to you is going through something, you're going through it also.
That's true.
So it don't have to be direct, you know, per se, us that went through the through it ourselves. But anybody had a anyway.
Well,
you had to deal with
a
man. You just about had to deal with something.
Right. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'd love to interject if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sister.
Yeah, go ahead, Sister Millie.
Really beautiful place that you just took the subject, and one that I'm very passionate about. You spoke about slavery, and you spoke about the denaturing of the female and the denaturing of the male, who's the protector of the female. And one of our sisters, I forget her name, she made a documentary, which I posted on my Facebook page, and it was a collaboration of testimonies from sisters from all walks of life. And there was a sister artist on this documentary, and she spoke, and what she said really resonated in me and took me back to what we're trying to achieve by going through life repair at the moment. And she said that she's had many experiences with men, and they've ended up in painful separations. And she's always felt this pain, but thought, you know, she perceived the pain to be coming from her immediate situation. Oh, I'm in pain because I've had a heartbreak. I'm in pain because somebody has hurt me. And she said it wasn't until she reflected that she understood that this pain was innate and birthed with her through her mother's pain and her mother's mother's pain, which is going right back into slavery, where we lost the head of the house and we became, if you like, in quotes, feminists, because we had to take up the role of protector, provider, nurturer, mother, teacher, everything. And we continue that today. And I wouldn't call myself a feminist because I'm able to do those things. I'm able to do those things because there was no one there to do it for me. The two serious relationships I had, they say that water attracts its own level. And after the first relationship, there were parts of my psyche that hadn't healed. So whatever I took into the next relationship, the partner that I was with reflected that. And it was a constant clash. If I was in need of him to validate me and reassure me of love, he was in the same need. So both of us were vying for the same attention, wanting the other to give it, and it ended up in disaster. So I believe for us to really be successful in going forward individually and with each other, we must first start to take a real hard look at self.
That's true.
Whatever pain we've been through, abuse, rejection, invalidation, we have to start to build that love for self, because if we don't love self, we're incapable of loving anyone else. We're incapable of loving God. Yeah, we're incapable of having the intimate relationship with Allah that we strive for, because the pain blocks the heart. Nothing can pass that block.
Yes, ma'am.
That is
huh. Okay, and Sister Sincere,
yes, ma'am.
You had a
yes,
comment?
Well, Sister went there, but first I always like to give actual facts. You asked me what I thought submission is, and looking it up, it said the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. It's hard for us, and as Sister said, and this is why the minister gave us Dianetics,
mm-hmm.
because we do have to get to the root of all the issues, and we carry our ancestors' ingrams in our DNA. And it's hard for us to move forward with hurt, and we find ourselves bouncing from one relationship to the next relationship, trying to find the right one to submit. But the first thing we didn't do is submit to our God and submit to the God within us. And when I was reading the Holy Quran, I was reading in the Holy Quran, the devil's misleading, and it talked about, you know, Adam being submissive, and he accepted Iblis, and he, you know, he refused. But then it talked about Adam and his wife and them not submitting to Allah. And because of that, and because Adam was off of his post, they both were out of the garden. And they, you know, they had to live that life according to the word of Allah. So until we find that total submission, to submit to do what the minister has led us to do with removing the engrams and changing our aberrations and not, you know, learn how to go from point A to point B. Those who study Dianetics know what I'm talking about. Find that point A to point B and stop going from A, C, B, D, E, A, J, K. We can never get to where we're supposed to be if we don't submit to the word of God, to the word of what our minister has given us, or just truth. We have to submit to truth. And if someone tells you something and says, sister, brother, you know, truth is on the table, that's what you submit to. And a lot of us have a hard time doing that, even in marriages, because the husband wants you to submit to them, and we should, because we should see the God, but they have to find the God first. Because, you know, I cannot submit to you and you're still acting like a Negro. I mean, you can have on a suit and a bow tie all day long and be on post 24/7. But I need for you to show me in the home the God that you are. I need for you to study. I need for you to teach me. I need for you to guide me. If you see that I'm putting something wrong in my mouth that the messenger told us not to do, and you tell me, babe, you know, and how to eat to live, that's what I submit to, because that's true. Sometimes I don't want to, you know. I may want a little pasta. I know it ain't good for me. It's not forbidden, but it's not what we should be eating if we want to live the years. We need to submit to the word. And for me, I was submitting to the wrong things. I had a child at 18, and I understand why I did the things that I did before I came into the nation. But I lost my father at 8 years old, and my grandparents raised me. And so I had an old school way of thinking and watched my grandmother submit to my grandfather. So I don't have a problem submitting. It was just who I submitted myself to. And then I went into a 19-year marriage and submitted to a fool. And then I was becoming foolish. And I didn't want to become foolish anymore, and that Allah took that man away from me and gave me a wonderful FOI who I can submit to, who I'm happy with. But even in that, I have to let him know, babe, truth is truth. Here it is on the table. But he has to also learn to submit to the God in me. And that there's no balance if you can't do that with each other.
Allahu Akbar.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we're going to move quickly because we have a lot of people on the phone. And the people in the chat room, I got a new email address for all y'all questions. It's NBM for Nation Building Movement. It's NBMRadio@gmail.com. If I can't
deal with all of the emails and my personal emails together. So I have a new email address. Again, it's N as in Nancy, B as in boy, M as in Mary, radio@gmail.com. I may not get to your questions tonight, but I promise you, if you forward them to my email, I'll get you. That's a promise. I'm making word bond. And let me, and before we start to take questions, I want to go to one more thing, because I don't think that a lot of brothers understand, or I personally, just from my personal experience, so I'm not talking about anyone that I don't know personally, but from my personal experience, I think that some brothers are very insensitive to what we as black women have suffered, and they don't understand that once you have been violated, and I'm not talking about in a sexual abusive way, just a violation of trust, you know, or just, you know, where you've been abandoned by your father, or, you know, whether you've been hurt in a relationship, you know, it's almost like touching, I was telling a brother today, it's almost like touching the hot stove. You know, when you're an infant, sometimes we don't learn that the stove is hot until we actually touch it, until we actually put our hand in that fire. And so we know that it burns. And so, you know, we give our all, we put our hand in the fire, and then we get burnt. And so it's hard to put all of yourself into another individual because you fear that pain that someone else may have inflicted on you. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you're making the present brother pay for what the previous brother did. But it's really not about that. It's about a protection that we have to have for ourselves. And the reason why I say that is because not only about the emotional aspect of being abandoned, maybe by your father, maybe by your husband, your first love, or whatever, but when we walk down the street in the community, I'm going to ask each and every one of you, how many of you actually feel respected and protected? Because they used to say that when a white woman's driving through a black neighborhood, or a white woman sees a black man, she grabs her purse, she locks her door, or whatever. But even in our own communities, you know, you don't know if the brother down the street, coming down the street, is going to hit you or wave at you, because of what we've actually witnessed in our own community, the abuse and mistreatment of women. So I'm going to ask each and every one of you just, you know, a very honest answer. You know, Sister Millie, do you feel, and you're in London, England, but I know London, England got some hoods over there as well.
Let me just ask you,
do you feel, as a black woman in your own community, respected and protected by the black man?
Sister, ever since I put on my holy garment and I began to dress modestly, I feel very elevated by those that I meet in the community, regardless of their backgrounds. But I think that has... my personality also is one of no fear. So I've never feared my own. I only fear God. I only fear Allah. So I will talk to the bad man, as we call them here. You call them gunmen out there. I will talk to the tramp. I will talk to the young boys in a gang, because I'm mummy. I don't fear them, and because I've worked with children for so long and young people and vulnerable adults, the way that I speak with them is respectful, so I do tend to get that back. I haven't had any negative experiences in my community. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Okay, Sister Diana?
You know, it's the same with me. I'm looked at as the mother of the community. Everybody calls me mama. all the young men call me mama, even those, uh-huh. even the ones on Facebook call me mama. You know, I have any problems. And I'm in the country. So just about everybody that's here know me, so I do feel protected. And I was walking down the dirt road, and the guy stopped, and he asked me, he says, have you seen that mountain lion? And I said, yeah, I've seen him. He was down at the lake drinking water. And he said, aren't you afraid of him? And I said, no, sir, I'm not afraid of no four-legged animal, none of God's creatures. I'm not. No, I'm not. I said, if I was going to have some fear, it would be a two-legged one. And he looked at me real funny, and he left. You know, where I live at, I'm not afraid of any of these animals. Or, and for his man, I'm not afraid of any of these men either. But you got to respect self. You got to respect self first. When I'm not in Africa, but all my garments are Africa. Everything I wear is to my ankle. All my
That's
dresses,
right.
All my clothes. And I have pants I wear under my dress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when people see me, they respect me. I'm not showing anything. I'm not showing my arms and, you know, wearing stuff off for me. Or I'm not doing that. I've always been respectful all my life. This is how I dress. I've always been respectful. I used to wear it over my head when I was listening to the real closely to Muhammad. And I used to dress like that. I wanted that respect,
yes,
and I got it. But you got to want it.
Yes, ma'am.
You have to command it. Yes.
That's right.
So
and
yes,
Sister
I
Sister
do
Taylor?
Feel protected in my neighborhood, my community.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I have to say, you know, being back here in Buffalo, the neighborhood that I'm in at the present time, I don't have any problems over here. But they know who my husband and I are because of when I go out in my garment. And even if I don't have on my headpiece, I have on a scarf and I have an afro. So even the Caucasian neighbors know what I represent, and they understand that. When I lived in Atlanta, I was working as a property manager on the worst side of Atlanta, in Southwest, actually down the street from the mosque. So over there was, you know, a lot of Bloods and, you know, a lot of dealing going on. And then they were like, well, do you really want this property? And I said, I don't have any fear. I'm going to come in here and do my job, and we're going to make a change. And while I was there, and my husband worked there before we got married, and he worked for me, praise be to Allah, that's how we got married. And it was, we changed it where the drug dealers weren't doing anything. We had one of the quietest communities in that area. And during the meetings, they were like, how do you keep your property so quiet? The police are never down there. I said, because I have a hedge of protection from my God. So there's no problem. And then 2 weeks after we left, the ATF came, the drug dealers, you know, they came and started busting out the doors, and, you know, it was just havoc and chaos. And I told my husband, I said, the hedge of protection is gone. So we've always got that respect, and even the drug dealers would tell other people, don't come here messing around with, they call me Sonny, don't come here messing around with Sonny, because she's going to take you out. And I had the brothers doing security for me over there. So they already knew. Well, she's part of the nation, leave her alone. And I'm like, sister, I walk with no fear. I walk where I am using wisdom, but I don't walk with any fear. I know Allah is with me.
And, you know, what I heard from all of you, which I know all of you, that aspect of each of you, that you all have that very strong faith and spirituality. And that is our protective hedge, no doubt about that. But I recently examined some YouTube videos that were quite disturbing. One that has stuck with me is the one where the two brothers were getting high or drinking whatever, and he said, man, watch this, cut your camera on. Then it's like he got the camera on him, and
he said, you know, watch me pimp slap this, you know, beef, whatever. Uh-huh. And so he walked into the house and he knocked some books off the table onto the floor. And as he did that, he called her out of another room. And as she entered the room, he said, look at this. What is this here on the floor? And he proceeded to slap her. I mean, not just slap her. I mean, he really hit her. And he proceeded to hit her and hit her and hit her. And outside of the abuse, what was more amazing to me was that there was another brother sitting there videotaping it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've seen, you know, coming out of Compton, coming out of Houston, I've seen where men have been beating women in the street, and people would just watch. And I even police that I know, I've talked to, and they say, well, you know, if we lock him up, she only going to come and get him out. If we lock him up, she's going to be with him tomorrow. And people don't have a tendency to want to interfere in domestic affairs when they see that a woman is being abused. And so with that public display of abuse and no intervention, and I'm talking to my brothers, on the down low, you know, I'm talking to them. I don't see how you can stomach that. You might walk away and say, man, I could never do that. Man, I would never treat a woman like that. But even if she does go back to him tomorrow, every man has the responsibility of maintaining a woman. And I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have a hell of a time getting the woman to submit to you when she don't feel protected or respected by any man. And if a woman is being beat down in the street and no man comes to her aid, she feels as though she is all alone in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So you got two kinds. You got the ones that's going to keep getting beat up till they get tired or they in the grave. And you got the ones that say, well, you know what, I can do bad all by myself, and I stay by myself, and I make my own money, and I do my own thing. But at the end of the day, you have two incomplete women who may be having physical relationships with these men, who are raising children absent of a man in the home, and therefore producing another dysfunctional generation of young men and young women. And I'm saying this because I want the brothers to understand that, you know, not only does a woman have to see God in you, but she has to feel secure, not just financially secure. She needs to feel secure. She needs to be able to look at you without that fear. She needs to be able to say, if I go down the street around the corner, and I'm not talking about just the sisters in the Nation of Islam, I'm talking about our black community. No matter where you are in your faith, no one has the right to abuse you. And to mm-hmm. our black men to step up and say, hey, you know what, you're not going to beat our women in the street. And it's an interesting thing that all of you brought up dress, because dress is very important. It sends a message, you know, it let people know what you are about.
Mm-hmm.
But I say this, and I've said this 1,000 times, I know it may sound redundant, but I'm going to keep saying it. You know, if men, and a lot of people say women, but if men would raise their standard, then women would act better. Because mm-hmm. you have a man who will see a woman half clad and call her a name, or say she looks like a tramp, or say she looks trashy, and say, glad that's not my woman. But then you got some men who are entertaining her while she's in that style of dress. So I'm going to tell you like my big sister Jackie told me when I was young. She said, and it's so true, it wouldn't be any whores if there were no tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is entertaining the women who are half-clad, who are acting other than themselves. And so men who are supposed to be the maintainers of women, you have a job to do. And that's all I'm going to say on that. And I'm going to take a comment from you all, and then I'm going to take questions from the audience. So, audience, get ready to ask your questions. For you who are in the immediate Blog Talk chat room, I will take your questions. So type them in. Those of you who are calling by phone, you have a comment or question, or you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your question. Okay, who wanted to say something first? Was that you, Sister Diana?
Yes. You know what? It's hard when women are in abusive relationships. I know you was talking about, I've seen something like that. I witnessed a young lady was getting beat up in my neighborhood when I lived in the big city. And it started from the end of the block, and she was trying to run for help, and he was beating her. And like you say, people was, men were standing out there looking, and everybody was watching. I was in my yard, and I was saying, I hope she come to my yard. I hope she get in my yard. I said, because it's going to stop right there. And, you know, that sister made it to my yard. And that's when I told that brother he had to stop. And that brother looked at me, and he had a chain wrapped around his body, a big chain. And he told me, he said, I hit you with this chain. And I had to pull out my shotgun. And I'm going to tell you something. These sisters, they need to get out of these relationships. I almost broke brother away. I mean, he could beat her all he wants. But when it came to my yard, it stops right there. And I told him, I said, you take over there. I said, but in my yard, it's not happening. That sister, he was trying to grab that sister to bring out of my yard. She was pulling my grass up. I told him he had to leave her alone. I said, leave alone. He left alone. He went on about his business, but he was cussing me out some horrible. And you know what? Sister girl went right back to that man. I'm not understanding the women who go back to the abuser. I lost a good friend because she went back to her abuser. Because me and her significant other had an argument, and I told him, you know what, he wasn't going to hit me. I said, well, you know what, I know one thing, you're not going to leave this house. I mean, not walking. And he told her the marriage was over if she ever talked to me again. So she stopped talking to me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to answer your question after a minute, and I'm going to tell you why they go back. Okay, Sister Millie, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to echo what Sister Diane said. The problem is these men, but the biggest problem is the females that allow it. Someone can hit you once, and you can say, they did something to me. You know, that brother hurt me. He did this. But twice? You then got to turn that mirror on self and say, what am I allowing? Why am I allowing this man to treat me like this and say I love him? What kind of love is that? And what are you attracting to yourself over and over again? It has to start with self. The divine value of self. Minister Farrakhan taught us October 2011, about the divine value of the black female. And I think that's something that we haven't grown with. We've been raised and taught how to serve, and we do that very well. Mm-hmm. But whenever we considered ourselves in the equation, we were taught by society that that was selfish.
Huh.
Now, our teaching teaches us self first, then others. And even us who are in the greatest teaching still don't understand and overstand what that means. We're thinking marriage is one half of faith, so I've got to get a husband. But you haven't worked on yourself in order to deserve that man, because we are the first teachers. Yes, the man has a responsibility to lift us higher than we already are, but we must at least have a basic respect for ourselves and love for ourselves. We can't expect that man to come and love us more than we love ourselves. And I think that's where we need to start. Work on self first. So that we can be, and exactly, ma'am, we can then be attractive to others. The man wouldn't get an opportunity to lift his hand in the first place if you loved yourself, because you wouldn't attract that type of man.
Right.
True.
And that's the, I just wanted to say, I don't want to take up too much time.
I mean, that's true. You're right on the, right on it.
Well, one thing I noticed.
Sister Sari?
Yes, ma'am. One thing I noticed, too, we look at abuse, and I've learned this from coming out of that old marriage of mine. And the thing is, because of the abuse I had from my first boyfriend, which is my oldest daughter's father, he was physical. And my uncle whooped his behind after he hit me and told me if I got back with him, he was going to whoop my behind. So it was the end of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I went on further, and I met my ex-husband, and he was educated and didn't put his hands on me. But the abuse was mental.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us look at the physical, but we don't understand. It's addictive. It's so addictive, and there is a chemical reaction that you have, especially when you lay down with someone. And you
I was always told that the verbal abuse can be just as worse.
It is. It's worse. I'm still getting audited for, and it wasn't like he called me the B word or things like that. It's just his actions and, you know, him making me feel inferior. And it was to the point where I was very slim, and I'm back down, but I had gained weight, you know, bigger than where I should have been. And I didn't understand, and I was sad and going to bed crying, and I couldn't grasp it until I came out of it, and I said, wait a minute, this is abuse. So now when I talk to the young girls, and they're like, well, no, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. But he's putting something in you and in your mind. We have, you know, Allah taught the messenger, we have 14 billion brain cells, and we don't use them all. But when we start, as Sister said, we start working on ourselves, and we work in to start to make those brain cells start popping. They can't come in and mess with you, even
That's
with
right.
the mental. And they couldn't
That's
even
right.
get as far as the physical, because before
right.
it even gets physical, it starts off mental. The physical comes afterwards. And I've seen that pattern before, and I would tell sisters, get out of it before it starts. And then they would end up getting hit. So with my ex, I started looking, and to this day, he tries to put that abuse into my daughters, and just even as recently. So I had to school them on the mental abuse. And you're looking at your father to be that male role model as a husband that you may want, but that's not what you want. You want better. You want a real godly man. You want to have someone who builds you up and not take you down. And I think that's so important, because it stays. The physical wounds, they heal. Those mental wounds are the hardest ones to get rid of.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
That's true.
Yes,
yes
ma'am. Okay, we're going to take a question right quick. So area code, well, oh, God, there's so many, 918. Last four, number 6901. Your mic is live. You have a question?
This is Brother Ivan, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir. How are you, Brother
Ivan?
From my neck of the woods.
I'm doing wonderful. Who is this talking? Who is in the neck of the woods?
Yeah, I'm from Tulsa, too, from my neck of the woods.
That's Sister Diana.
Who is that? Well, I was born and raised here.
Me too.
Well, I was going to say this. When we were talking about, I'm hearing this thing about you know, about why the black woman wants a meal. That's, boy, that's so, Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, let me say this. The minister told the black man that the black man, he said, in order to deal with the black woman, the black man has to be a scientist with the IST, he emphasized, on the end of it. And I agree that there's a lot, you know, you all have really covered just about everything that I could even think of. There's so many things that I would say that would cause so many of our black women not to submit. I don't, some would just chalk it up as just a pure rebellion, but of course that's not it. That's part of it, maybe. Some sisters are just rebellious, no matter what the situation is, but I think the main thing is, you know, with one of the sisters mentioned, we was talking about the legacy, which is a lot of our people don't like to talk about, the legacy of slavery is at the root of it. You know, and a lot of times when we deal with a situation, most people don't want to deal with the root of a situation. We deal with it on the surface, and so we never solve the problem. For instance, we were talking about the young man. I was talking to some individuals the other day, and I'm using this as an example, how that young man went on that Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., and killed all those people, and then got himself killed. And so they were talking about how bad it was, what he did. And, of course, if we look at that, we all understand that nobody says that it's right what he done. We know what he did was wrong. But my question to those who were talking about how bad it was, I said, well, let's talk about what created him. What created a man's mind, his mentality, to think that it was okay, or he was so distraught that he would go in to a place like that and take all these innocent lives and then take his own or have his own, be the cause of his own life being taken as a result. And if we don't get to the root of why he was mentally sick, we're only going to look at the effect of it and not the cause of it. And so when we're dealing with each other as black men and black women, you know, just to say, you know, well, the sister won't submit, well, let's ask why. I remember Minister Farrakhan, or Brother Rasul, was sharing with the brothers one day with his ex-wife where he was going through counseling with his ex-wife. Minister Farrakhan was counseling Brother Rasul and his wife, his present wife at that time, and Brother Rasul shared with us how he had this long laundry list of things that when it was his turn to speak, because the minister let his wife speak first, about what all his wife done. He said he went on for 15, 20 minutes, and you all know how patient and humble the minister is. He said when he got through, he said, the minister said, yes, sir, brother, I understand. And he said, I'm sure you're telling me the truth, he said, but it happened on your watch. He told Brother Rasul that it happened on his watch. And so as men, we do have to take the responsibility that a lot of the reason that our women are like they are is because of us. There's two sides to that, though. The sisters, in my humble opinion, have to realize, too, that there are some things that have happened to the black man because it's not natural.
Right.
It's not natural
That's
for us
right.
to be as abusive, hard, cold-hearted toward our women like some of us are. So you got two hurt people hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at that, I think that when we both start looking at the root of why it's like it is, instead of just looking at the effect of it, then we'll stop blaming each other. And then, you know, we won't be, the thing about submission, eventually, won't be a subject. It'll be a, you know, it'll be a subject, but not as prominent as it is, because, yes, we both should submit to each other. You know, of course we're supposed to submit. We should, just like the sister shouldn't submit to a God, I mean, should submit to the God and the man, and shouldn't have to submit to a fool. I, as a man, don't have to submit to no foolishness, not no sister either.
That's right.
And I mean, I'm the kind of brother, I'm a no-nonsense brother. I love you as long as you let me, but I'll run you out the house, too. Yeah. I'm just saying.
My goodness, Brother Ivan.
And he's
I don't
right.
mean it
that's,
like physically. What I mean is, when I mean run you out the house, I'm a no-nonsense. I don't play.
I agree with Brother. I think it's time for no nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for us to heal. And we can sometimes do that when we're in a relationship with one another, when we're relating, but we best achieve that alone.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I don't think we fully appreciate the struggles of the black man as much as we should, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I know for myself, I'll speak for myself, and my last relationship, he brought me into the nation, and we were hearing things about, you know, we were being taught that the woman is the man's tilth and he should go in her when he pleased, but send some good first. Now, you know, some of our brothers can forget to send the good first and use parts of the scripture to manipulate a sister who doesn't have the best understanding of that scripture to have a controlling type relationship, which now feeds into that mental abuse, because you're now going in a straight path. Right, you're going in the straight path now, you know, and the women as well with the brother. Oh, your man is the maintainer. That's the opening of Surah 4. Man is the maintainer of the woman. But what does it mean to maintain? Do we fully appreciate what that means? It is not just financial. It's spiritual. It's emotional. It's physical. If your husband could have the most money in the world, but if he's not a praying man, how is he going to maintain you?
Come on, sister.
You know, I agree. Can I say something to that, though?
Yes,
sir. There's always two, and I agree with you totally, but there's always two sides to everything, because,
of course,
the man is the maintainer, but what does the woman do to deserve to be maintained is the question as well. Because I'm maintaining you, but we both, it's like the man should be worthy of you. But, you know, I think that, in my humble opinion, I think sisters forget sometimes that you are to be worthy as well. The man, you have to be worthy just as much as the man has to make himself worthy. It's not just that the man makes himself worthy of you, but you have to be worthy as well of what you're talking about you want to be maintained with.
Absolutely.
I'm saying that because I'm a mother. I'm a son of a mother who has nothing but boys. And one of the things that she said, she used to teach us, she said that, yes, the woman is the prize. She said, but how can just a woman be the prize when you're the other half? You're the prize, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is what my mother taught us as boys. All she had was boys. That's why I'm saying that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yes, brother. And I believe I did add that balance. If I didn't make myself clear, I apologize.
Yes, ma'am, you did.
You
were very clear.
And also,
I just wanted to add
as well, Minister Farrakhan teaches us, both men and women, that the man should already have his self together. He should already be mentally, physically, financially, emotionally prepared to own, as he says, a woman before he approaches her. So I think where we can go wrong and have gone wrong, we have been lonely. Maybe we're looking at age, we're looking at our biological clock, whatever the reasons are that we're coming together, have not been in the natural way that we are supposed to come together.
So we're coming
together
for the wrong reasons.
You know, to suck one from the other, suck the marrow out of one another. We come together already established on our own. We've already established self. We're joining on to the other so that we can elevate higher to carry out Allah's will. What is His will?
Ma'am.
That we build civilization. We cannot do that as single parents.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Marriage is one half of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have faith in the fact that you've selected a partner that you can work with. None of us are perfect. We're perfect in our imperfections.
Right.
Come on, sister. You better
teach. If we continue to look for perfection, we're always going to be at loss.
Come on, sis.
Whatever our imperfection is, all these experiences and this pain and this loss that we're sharing tonight is we've been through that so we are able to help others.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the purification process. It's time to stop beating one another up. Accept your
mm-hmm.
own and be yourself.
That's right.
This is me. This is who I am now. This is who I see myself as. This is who I want to be. Can you help me achieve that?
Mm-hmm.
Come, let we go together and try and achieve that.
Mm.
Instead of me looking at your bank balance, man, you should already, if you're in your 40s, your 30s, your 50s,
mm-hmm.
you should already have your home established. You shouldn't be moving into the sister's home.
That's right.
You should already have a job, some income. You shouldn't be looking to the sister to supply that. As the minister teaches us, if the female works, that is a bonus. That's an adage to you.
Mm-hmm.
But don't
mm-hmm.
stress the sister out playing so many dual roles when you are there.
Carol,
I mean, she spoke it today.
We're trying to get the Holy Ghost up in here.
Just
on the table.
It's
Amen.
Time to heal. It's healing time. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, as black people, we talk too much.
Yes, ma'am.
We're always talking and we're very intellectual with our debates. But who is actually standing up and doing?
Come on.
Why, man, have you had 4 failed marriages? But you can quote Quranic scripture. Nobody can quote it like you. But you've got 4 failed marriages. When do you start to look at self? Sister, you can bake
y'all.
A bean pie.
I'm telling you.
You can cook a bean soup.
The truth
you
was
can
that
make a garment. But you can't keep a husband.
Right.
When do you
Uh-oh.
Start to look at self?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, sis. I can't do nothing
I
but bear witness.
I love my people.
It's
time. None of us want to be left behind. That's why we're striving to give our will to Allah, make his will our will. We are in end time. There's no more time to debate. There's no more time to get this wrong. Otherwise, we'll be left behind. That is our reality.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Many are called, few are chosen.
Few are chosen.
Are you going to be
That's
one
right.
of the chosen? Or are you going to still be here moaning about the condition of the black woman? We know our condition. We know it's innate pain. That's born through slavery and before that. So when do we start to deal with it and stop talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, sister. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Stop
so
blaming
much.
Each
I'm
other.
Sorry,
there's
sister,
enough blame
I'm very
for everybody.
Passionate about this subject.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My sister, all
yeah.
the way from London, England. Okay, we're going to have to get to these questions because, Sister Miller, you start talking and my boys start blowing up. Okay, we're going to take a message from, question or comment from Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Just very much engrossed in what I've heard thus far from your esteemed panelists, as well as yourself, all of which is 100% true. You know, the basic principle of truth that puts us on the path to resolution to the problems between men and women, particularly black men and women, is rooted in the nature in which both are created. And I'm sure I got on the phone a little late, so perhaps you've already discussed this principle. But the nature
no, sir.
In
Go
which
ahead.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. The nature in which both are created possesses or is possessed of the plan that God had for the creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the manual. And whenever you're not operating any product or creation by the manual, you can expect to have problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the nature of the man and the nature of the woman?
Mm-hmm.
The nature of the man is to be the maintainer. Certainly he
mm-hmm.
is. Allah says in the Quran, men are the maintainers of women with what Allah has given them in greater degree than he's given it to in the woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of the man.
Mm-hmm.
But the man is also not just the maintainer of his woman. The man is the maintainer of the universe. The man
mm-hmm.
is the maintainer of his environment. The man is the maintainer of his society. What good is it to be able to maintain your woman singularly and then subject her to a world that disrespects women?
Mm-hmm.
So our responsibility, if we are to maintain her in completeness, is we have to deal with the society in which we live, and we have to reform it or destroy it and build another, so that wherever she may be, not just in the confines of her home, but wherever she is in that particular society, she will be respected and protected. But we are so far away from our nature.
Mm.
The nature of the woman is to maintain the man. See, I mean, we've heard that. We've heard the nature of the woman is to submit to the man. The nature of the woman is to be obedient to her man. The nature of the woman is to be consoler, comforter, nurturer, nourisher. The nature of the woman is to maintain her man in that which Almighty God, Allah, has given her in greater degree than he's given the man.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We're both maintainers of each other to the degree that Allah has given us that ability in our nature. But again,
mm-hmm.
we're so far away from the nature in which we were created. So we're not operating according to the manual. And just like any other product, as I conclude my statement, just like any other product, any other creation, or created thing, it comes with instructions. And if we're not following those instructions, then we can expect that you will not get the complete or proper functionality out of that which you are trying to get utility from.
Teach.
So we got to get back to the nature in which we were created. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it was more important to preach or to teach separation than it was to teach prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that prayer is an inextricable, inarguable principle of our faith,
mm-hmm.
of our religious practice, Islam. However, he said it was more important to preach separation or teach separation. Because to teach prayer, and I want to connect the principle to the subject matter, to teach prayer in a world that has taught man to pray to a false god is of no significance or purpose or utility at all. So we have to separate, get ourselves in an environment wherein we can pursue or pray to the true God and then pray. Well, the same principle applies. We can teach about the nature in which both men and women are created, the role and the obligations that Allah has imposed on us according to how he created us. But we have to create a society in which we can practice, pursue, develop, adhere to, obey these natures.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, yeah, we'll know it and we'll practice it at home. But when we get outside of the confines of our home, what is forced upon us is the aberrated state of the society in which we live. So the point is we have to build. The obligation for maintenance is much broader than maintaining our wives or maintaining, you know, the bills or the home as such. We have to maintain the society.
Yeah.
And we have to create a society wherein our women and our men are free from oppression and free to worship the one God.
Amen.
So I want to thank you for allowing me to say those words. And you all, I mean, this is a deep, deep subject.
Yes.
And you all are handling it very, very well. Very well.
And thank you,
Minister
James, thank you for calling in and for your love and support. You all can hear Student Minister James every Friday night right here at 8 p.m. Central as he does our live study group, and he's always expounding on the time and what must be done, and he always has very interesting guests. So please come back tomorrow night and join us for our live study group. So if you're interested in learning Islam, you got questions, please join us tomorrow night. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to take another question. Area code. Oops. Did I mess it up? Area code 504. Your mic is live. Area code 504.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How's the sister?
Okay.
Oh, I'm blessed by Allah's grace, but can you mute your computer because we're getting feedback and we can't hear you. Brother, are you
can
there?
You hear me now? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry, sister, for the inconvenience. I just want to just share that very important subject, and I thank you, sisters, for taking my call. And always in the name of the one and true living God, I thank him for raising up in our midst the divine leader, teaching guide, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I felt about witnessing the days and time that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is their divine reminder. So I just want to just open up and say one little quick thing, sisters, that my name is Brother Akim out of New Orleans, Louisiana, registered out of Mosque 46. I just wanted to say that as I continue to, you know, listen and I think about my own self, because first of all, I am what we call a returning citizen or formerly incarcerated individual who served almost 20 years in federal prison. I've been home now going on like 37 months, and I work in New Orleans, Louisiana, on the city local government as a violence and behavior coordinator for the city of New Orleans. Now, having said that, this one is shared that as I look at my own self as a black man, that I don't like to say that I'm looking for the black woman to submit to me. Because when I first of all, I got to make sure that I'm in total submission to Allah's will. And then I ask myself, if you want a woman, your wife, to submit to you, what do you want her to submit to? And then on top of all that, you have to be deinstitutionalized. I'm talking about myself as a black man. From all the atrocities, mental atrocities, socioeconomic, political, moral, that has happened to me through my ancestry, through our DNA. And, you know, another important thing that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has always pointed out to us, he said that the black man in his current state is not fit for self. And so what I always used to think about it, that in prison, I used to say not fit for self. So I was saying that if we're not fit for ourselves, we got to be reorientated, redeveloped, re-educated. We have to be decentralized for what has happened to us. And so I look at my own self as a black man and in my own community, and I feel the pain of black women from all over in New Orleans, wherever I read about them throughout the world, that we can't even walk in our own community. They don't even know if the black man going to wave at them or cringe. But then I thought about something what the messenger has said about us, that we have been, our condition has been made like that to us in America. We've been made other than our own selves. And so I used to always say to myself, just like in the, when you wear clothing that says made in the USA, well, a nigger is made in the USA. An abuser of himself, his woman, his family is made in the USA. You know, for him, for us to be operating and function the way that we are the replica of a recessive or weak mindset that Caucasian people has embedded in us through an educational system, through every system that he's given us, from religion, social, moral, every system we have, he has been our teacher. And so since that he has been our teacher, I heard Minister Farrakhan say years ago on a tape called The Pathology of Hypocrisy that the children of Shabazz are now becoming the children of Master Farrakhan Muhammad. And so we're becoming the children of Master Farrakhan Muhammad, the great Mahdi. I look at that as us. We have to have a better understanding of ourselves as male and female. You know, the nature of the man, yes, is a sustainer, is a maintainer. But the nature of the woman is a consoler, to give him peace and quietness of mind. And so how can the black woman give us peace and quietness of mind when we are disrespecting of our own self and her too? So she's not going to operate out of her right nature, nor can I. So I think that it's very wise that you sisters are talking about this, because it's really teaching me a lot about myself as a man, because I know that the first everything we'll talk going to come from a woman. You know, and the woman that we're looking for is the woman that is being raised, that Minister Farrakhan is raising through you sisters, and being able to give that. And I don't have no sadness about myself, because I look and yearn for the black woman to be in a rightful place. I don't look at no woman to submit to me and bow down to me as though I'm some place of worship or object when I'm not being in the right nature of myself and treating her the way she want to be treated. She want to be protected and elevated. How in the hell, like Minister James said, we want to localize her to just self-submitting to you, and then she's operating and functioning in the world that disrespect her. And so that's all I wanted to say, and I thank you, sister, so much for just giving me this opportunity. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, we got questions coming out the yin yang, and then we're gonna come back with another talking point. So let me take a question from area code 936. Area code 936. Your mic is live. Area code 936. Brother, sister, you got a question? Okay, go on once, go on twice. Okay. All right, and let me see. Okay. We got a question from our Vice President of Nation Building Movement, Brother Kareem Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaykum salam, Queen Aziza. How are you?
How are you, beloved brother?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah. And also, I want to extend greetings to your most insightful and powerful panel. I'm loving it, even though, again, forgive me for coming in late. But, you know, I'm working. But I had to be here for at least part of this. And what I wanted to say is this. That number one, everything that I've heard up to this point has been on point. Because, you know, I'm a stickler for two things. Practical application of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Practical application of the words that Allah has given us in the scripture, and balance. I indeed have to say there's some balance and both of those going on right here. As I heard, and I'm sorry if I didn't get the sister's name, but as I heard my sister saying when I tuned in, the fact that something that we've discussed often, we do an awful lot of talking, you know, and the time for the talk is over. Yes, we need to dialogue. Yes, we need to dialogue as we move forward. We're going to have to do that. But just sitting up and having one of those sessions, I'm not going to even dignify it with the word, but having one of those sessions every time you turn around without actually you having some principle or some way to resolve that is useless.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I really wanted to share is right in Lost Found Muslim lesson number one, it's point number 12 and point number 14. Point number 12 reads, what is the meaning of F-O-I?
Go ahead, brother.
Answer is the fruit of Islam. It says the name given to the military training of the men that belong to Islam in North America. And military indicates war, okay? As Student Minister James Muhammad talked about the maintaining aspect of it, yes. So we have to maintain across the board, not just, like you said, our individual mate. But it didn't say men are the maintainers of wives. It said that men are the maintainers of women, plural. Point number 14 is, what is the meaning of MGT and GCC? The answer is Muslim girls training and general civilizations class. This was the name given to the training of women and girls in North America, how to keep house, how to rear their children, how to take care of their husbands. But wait a minute, it says, and in general. How to act at home and abroad.
These
training units were named by our prophet and leader of Islam, W.D. Fawad. So if this in general, which means covering everything, how to act at home and abroad, how could some of these silly brothers think that she's supposed to be confined to the house? Don't get me wrong. The units are first. That has to be taken care of first. However, I would be a fool. Any male would be a fool that Allah has blessed you with a wife, with a woman that has skills in mathematics, skills in accounting, skills in business, just all type of skills, and you're going to try to regulate her to the kitchen and some babies. And we are working to build the nation. So I'm going to get off of here because I want to hear the rest. Because
again, I'm
growing and learning. So may Allah
continue
to bless you all. Bless you all, and don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam,
brother.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you, Brother Kareem. Okay, we're going to take one more question, I think, from Chicago. Area code 773, your mic is live. Area code 773. Are you there? Okay, hold on. I might have cut his mic off instead of on. Hold on a second. Area code 773. That is so interesting. Okay, I think that's Brother Tony, and I really would love to bring him in because he was with us last week. Brother Tony, I'm trying to get your mic to go live. If you can hear me, go ahead and speak. Okay, well, maybe he can't hear me. Okay, well, it's going to go live at any second, so we'll try to bring you in, Brother Tony, as soon as possible. Okay, I wanted to go to this item because as I was getting ready to prepare to do this show, I was talking to another brother, excuse me, this afternoon, And he said something to me, and like I said, you have to meet people where they are. Everybody is not in the nation or anything like that, so you have to just meet people where they are. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Tony. Yes, sir. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. Really good, sister. I had a quick question, if I may. I think I'm going to be the first one to have an actual question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Last week I said that it was impossible for our sister to submit to the black man in our current state. But the question is, I'm going to read a little something from the Quran, and I'm going to ask the sister's response to what I read. It's going to be very short, something from the Quran or something from the Bible. In chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, called The Woman, it reads, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, O people, keep your duty to your Lord, who created you from a single being and created its mate of the same kind and spread from these two many men and women. Then it says again, and keep your duty to Allah by whom you demand one of another your rights and to the ties of relationship. So surely Allah is ever watching over you. In the Bible it says, wake up. This is from Ephesians 5. It says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands or to your own husbands as you do to your Lord. For your husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. My question is this. Do the sisters believe, the sisters on the panel, believe that this instruction should take place immediately or after the development of the black man? Should this instruction take place immediately, or should we wait until we feel that the black man has developed?
Can I take that one?
Oh, Lord have mercy. He would. go ahead. We all going to answer. We going to take turns. Go ahead, Sister. Who is that?
Sister Millie?
Millie, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Tony.
Well,
thank you for that beautiful question, sir. And to answer it in short, I believe that we should follow the instruction that we've been given and submit now. My view of submission is love. You don't submit to anything you don't love. And I love the black man. And I am not perfect. I still am in process. So to wait for the black man to get right will mean that we may never join on at all. So I would submit. And I think if I'm honest, I think most sisters submit anyway when they get into a relationship. And it's when they are mistreated that bond is broken. And that's what I would say to answer your question, sir.
Okay, and Sister Sunseri, and then we're gonna go to Sister Diana after that. Sister Sunseri?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Is he still there?
Brother
Tony? Yes, ma'am. I put it on mute. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, yes, sir. For one, I want to tell you my husband is from Chicago, and he soldiered there. And we were just there in August, so we have a deep love for his hometown. But I do believe that we should submit. And I think, just to make it quick, Master Farad Muhammad came and sat knee to knee with the messenger. And he exorcised the demons out of the messenger. He audited him. And the messenger submitted to his word, which changed him, which changed our minister, which has changed us. So through that submission, even though he could have waited or he didn't have to, but he did, so that a nation could rise. So we have to be patient with our black men.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to submit to truth and bring truth to the table. And I think as the minister has us on this path of exercising our demons out, we have to submit to the word that he gives us. Now, if that black man can't submit to the teachings and the word of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or just truth and the word, then no, we cannot submit to him. But we cannot submit to foolishness. But if we are both trying to learn and grow and change and get those demons out of us, then yes, we should submit. And yes, I do submit.
All right. And Sister Diana?
You know, I agree with both sisters that we should submit, you know, submit to the man, you know, first. I mean, we should follow instructions. That's what the instructions are there for. If we don't follow instructions, then where are we? We're already in
mm-hmm.
a society that goes against our nature because we immigrated and we're not segregated. That's why we need segregated. So we can be in a society where we can't be the way we should be, the normal, the way we should be. But, yes, I agree. We should submit. We don't have time to wait for the black man to get right. But we should, like she said, we don't have time to submit to foolishness. But we should work it together. We got enough blame, enough pain for the both of us. So we both need to be healed. It's a healing process for both people. Yes, I think we should submit.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Can I make one more statement before you answer?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Why did you get all of these sweet, humble, and submissive sisters on the line? Why did you get a few rebellious sisters?
Well,
sound so humble and sweet.
Well, Brother Tony, I think what I did was I carefully picked sisters who I know have been through some things, and just to show you that we as black women are not rebellious, but we are misunderstood. And I'm going to answer your question because I knew he would come with something that, you know, try to make your hair turn gray because that's how Brother Tony is. But I tell you that we are all striving, excuse me, in the way of Allah. And if we sit around and wait on perfection, then we will all go to our graves single, and
mm-hmm.
our lives will be completely lonely. But marriage is a partnership. So where I am weak, inshallah, you are strong. And vice versa. We are supposed to grow and expand in our knowledge and our wisdom and understanding of the teachings together. When Allah created us, He created us to go through whatever we have to go through together. And so
mm-hmm.
when we don't have an understanding of one another, when we fail to communicate with one another in an effective manner where we're actually seeking understanding. We're not arguing, but we're actually seeking understanding. And that was the whole premise to the topic, because when men get to talking about women being rebellious, I think it's because we fail to engage in conversation about how we really feel, because we all are walking around so guarded. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to put ourselves out there. And I've always been an open book. And it's unfortunate that most women are not that way. A lot of women are very guarded because they've been hurt. And the minister has introduced Dianetics, but even to that degree, to sit down and talk to someone about their ills has proven to be a difficult task for some women. But I tell you, in order to bridge this gap between men and women, and that will bridge the gap between families, we have to communicate. So before you say another sister is rebellious, you need to understand what she's been through, where she's coming from, why does she act like that, instead of making judgment from afar. So, you know, we see a lot of behaviors, but we don't understand them. And I don't think it's in the nature of any woman to want to go against the grain of Allah. So someone has to be able to identify and speak to her pain. And if our brothers would put themselves in that mode more often, then we would have better relationships and we would have a better understanding. And you men will be more compassionate to the women. Not to say that you're not, and I'm not talking about all men, but I'm talking about those men who asked me to do this topic. I ain't calling no more names. And for men who just don't understand where women are coming from. And I say this all the time, and a lot of people say, well, the messenger taught this and the minister taught this. But I'm going to tell you something, and I say this often as well. When the messenger was among us and he gave us these teachings, it was for us to get knowledge of self, to obtain knowledge of self.
Mm-hmm.
That's been almost 84 years ago. There are some of us who are well-versed in the teachings that know them very well. And if you think for one second that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to us, was raised from among us to keep us stagnated, then you're sadly mistaken. There has to be a period of growth. And especially for those of us who are in the nation, have been in the nation, and say that we understand these teachings, then you have to understand there has to be an establishment of family amongst the brother and the sisterhood. So all of this about you afraid, or when you're walking on eggshells, you don't know what to say to the MGT. Well, then if you don't know what to say to her, you can't get angry when you don't understand her because you won't converse with her. We have to get beyond that. There was a time and a place when we had to be separated from one another in the mosque, in general society, so that we can get to know ourselves better. But now that those of us who say we have the knowledge of self, we have to build a nation. And you can't build a nation without communication and understanding.
Speak, sister.
So we have to get beyond, you know, the spoon feeding and let's chew some meat now.
Amen.
And build relationships of brotherhood and sisterhood with our brothers. And Brother Tony, I tell you, you know, I didn't like Brother Tony until last week. No, I'm joking. It wasn't that I disliked him. I just had a very different opinion about Brother Tony. And, you know, that's a perfect example, Brother Tony, because we would have conversations on Facebook, but I think I had invited him on the show, but it was just strictly talking about the show. But as I really got to talk to him about this issue and really get to learn his point of view, I formed a different opinion about Brother Tony, and I had to publicly apologize to him and personally because I had him pegged all wrong. And see, that is the type of healing and that is the type of coming together that we have to have. Now I consider Tony, you know, as one of my brothers. You know, at first he was a brother, but now he's my brother. You see what I'm saying? So we're supposed to grow and develop with these teachings. We are not to remain in the same state. because for us to remain in the same state 83 years after these teachings, that says a lot about us. And that is not, and I'll say it again, that is not why Allah raised the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from among us. We have to build a nation. We have to communicate. So, Brother Tony, my Brother Tony, did I answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. Really, and I'm not just being buttery, all of the answers were wonderful, and the spirit behind the answers were even more wonderful. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you, sister.
Brother Tony, before you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you the Brother Tony who just recently got married?
No, ma'am.
It's not you.
That's the wrong Brother Tony.
You're talking about Minister Tony. Oh, you're talking about Student Minister Tony. No, that's not him.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah, when that brother
nice
get married, everybody gonna know. I'm gonna blast it all over Facebook.
Okay. Because I've been on Facebook, I've got to know the sisters and brothers through Facebook, so I'm just trying to identify the voices now with the people.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'm the brother.
A friend's request. He's Tony, Tony Muhammad out of Joliet.
Brother that just had the that delicious cup of coffee this morning. It was so good that I burned my mouth. I'm that brother.
Okay.
I had to buy him some coffee, so I'm glad that you redeemed it, Brother Tony, and I'm so happy that you enjoyed it. All praises due to Allah. That was my way of making up and apologizing, so I'm glad you enjoyed it, Brother Tony. Okay, thank you. All right, okay, listen, before we go, we almost out of time, but I have to get to this topic because I was talking to a brother today, and he said something that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Oh.
And that don't happen too often. But the brother said to me, now this is a brother I respect, very conscious brother. He said to me that I would rather marry a white woman or a Hispanic woman over a black woman, because when I get ready to make that step, I want as less headache as possible. So I'm going to ask you as the last question of the night, sisters. Now, not personally maybe, but when you see a man with another woman, and let's just say that their idea, because, you know, we already know love supersedes all things, and we hope that they are together for the right reason. But when you have someone who has a concept that black women are difficult and that another race of women are more submissive than us, what is your opinion? And I'm going to start with you, Sister Diana.
Self-hating. Really, they do. Because, you know, first thing, they don't love themselves because that's the way they feel about themselves.
Come
so they
on,
look
sister.
For something other than to overcome their insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Very insecure person.
Yeah.
They would do something like that. You don't marry somebody for that. Like you said, it should be for love.
Yes, ma'am.
That's insecurity.
Okay.
That's self-hating, really.
I agree with you, sister, 100%. Okay, and Sister Sunseri?
Okay, I'm about to go Buffalo old school, Old Testament on you. You know, when Moses brought the children of Israel out from Egypt of under bondage, how that story goes. Now, if we look back at it in that time, they didn't have a knowledge of themselves. They hated themselves, and they doubted the God. And so because of that, he said, you're not going to be the one to see the promised land because of the mindset that they had. So I always say this, when I see people like that and they hate themselves, as sister said, and they don't want to see themselves and the person that they're with, I say let old Israel die. Let them go.
Amen.
You know, I give it to Allah. and let them be destroyed because I want to see the hereafter. I got my black man. So, you know,
amen.
You go do you, and, you know, I'll see you in the burning hells, and you know what I mean?
No, you won't see them, sister.
You know, if I give you the teachings, I give you the teachings, and I try to tell you, brother, you got to love yourself, and if you don't, then, you know, hey, fire and brimstone on you, bro, and, you know,
right.
Hope I don't smell you. You know what I mean? Just, okay, keep it moving.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and Sister Millie?
Yes, ma'am. I would say again that water seeks its own level. And that Lynchy mentality is in the way of the brother dealing with himself and the reflection of himself, which is the black woman.
Come on.
So it's comfortable to, you know, be that which society deems as acceptable by having the image of the perfect female on your arm. So I would really, the good book says, judge not lest ye be judged. So I leave them to Allah. I used to get very upset about it, but now I leave them to Allah and continue to work on self.
Well, I tell all my sisters, you dodged a bullet. Thank Allah. Sometimes what you think you've lost, you really gained. Because you could have been at the other end of that madness. So when I see something like that, like, all praise is due to Allah. If he got that kind of mindset, I'm so happy that Allah put him somewhere far away from me. And now we don't even have to be curious about the brother. We know that he can go on about his business. So
that's
all praise is due to Allah. Okay, ladies. Well, listen, we are out of time. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And Sister Millie, Sister,
yes, ma'am.
It was so good to hear your voice. And I'm going to tell y'all something, sisters. Sister Millie is in London, England. So she got up out of her bed because it is 2 o'clock in the morning over there.
It's 4 o'clock now.
And so now it's 4 o'clock now to spend this evening with us. Sister, thank you so much.
You.
And
yeah,
you have been such a treat. It was so good to put a voice to the beautiful photo. And I'm just so honored that you joined us. Oh, my goodness, you are such a beautiful sister. And
thank
I don't know, we're going to have to get you on again some kind of way. Maybe I got to have a show at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. But
sister, it was an absolute honor.
Well, for her, I will be up at 2 o'clock in the
with
morning.
My sisters, to hear your wisdom and share what little I have, you know, to try and heal, to try and understand how we can do better, how we can bring in this civilization that we're all striving for. So if my little sacrifice is to stay up all night, it is an honor to have taken part tonight. And I thank you, Queen, for inviting me.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Aziza, so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Sister Diane. Thank you, Sister Sincere.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sisters, too. I got good energy now. Now I can rest my mind.
Sister from London, you was wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, she is.
God bless you.
Bless you, too.
We all were
a
perfect reflection of each other.
I feel blessed.
Me too.
Me too.
Me too. And if we're not already friends on Facebook, for those who don't know me, please look me up. It's Millie X Reed.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I think my phone went dead for a second.
Okay.
For some strange reason. But thank you, sisters, for so much. And Sister Diana, it was such a treat. If y'all don't know Diana Richardson, she the one always going off on somebody on Facebook.
Okay.
And she likes to use four-letter words. And you know, it takes a lot to shock me. So when I say, oh, my, that means that she has said something way out over the top. But that's my sister. I love her because she's brutally honest. You don't have to have no second guesses about her. She's going to give it to you raw and uncut. So thank you, Sister Diana. Definitely you're going to have to come back and join me.
And I didn't use no four-letter words.
Oh, yes,
ma'am. No, you abbreviate. I'm sorry, you abbreviate. My bad. You abbreviate, yes, ma'am. And Sister Cesaria, I know this is your second time with us. I think the first time you were with Brother Khalil is your husband, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. So definitely, Sister, you and Brother Khalil are going to have to come back for my couple show that's going to be not next week, but the following week. So tell Brother Khalil to get ready.
Khalil, get ready.
So I want to thank all of my guests, all of the callers, all of the people in the chat room, Yahoo chat, Google chat. Now I'm on Tumblr chat. And all my Twitter family and my Facebook family, Student Minister James, Brother Kareem, the members of my network that called in, Brother Tony out of Chicago, thank you, beloved, love you much. And I saw my little brother Rashid out there. He's kind of shy. He calls in every now and then, but I love you, Brother Rashid, representing H-Town the way you do, dear brother. So I want thank all of you, and just a quick rundown, join us tomorrow night for study group at 8 p.m. Central. Student Minister James is going to expound on the time of what must be done on Saturday at 8 p.m. Central. Join us for Young, Gifted, and Black. Brother Ronnie O'Neill III, he has a very special guest talking about the sterilization of black women in North Carolina. That's at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Saturday night. On Sunday, join us at 6:30 p.m. Central with Brother Vernon for our economic development show, No Romance Without Finance. On Monday, Brother Kareem, who you heard from tonight, will host our show, Conscious Black Nation, at 8 p.m. Central. And on Tuesday, Brother Jihad will be here at 8 p.m. Central. We're out on the front line with the Food of Islam. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, DJ Black Caesar and Friends will be here with our hip-hop comedy show. And, of course, next week I will be back with Why the Black Woman Refuses to Submit Part 3. So now we're going to have a battle of the sexes. We're bringing the men and the women to the table to talk about this topic. And so that's it. And I thank all of you for joining us. Thank you, my beloved queens. I bow before you because I love you all so much, and you all are so worthy. Thank you, Sister Millie. We'll have to do this again sometime. So I leave you as I came before you, and I greet in words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Walaikum salam, queen.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.